Hello, Business Wilderness listeners. I firstly want to thank you all for being such amazing listeners and followers of the show. Secondly, I have a very small request from you guys. I'd love it if you guys could leave us a review and leave us some feedback on iTunes. It will absolutely help us improve the show and produce a better show week in, week out. Thank you once again for being such amazing listeners.
You are listening to the Business Wilderness, the voice of entrepreneurs.
Welcome to the Business Wilderness. My name is Ahmed Alhouli, and today I have a very special guest with me, Kat from Humanization. Kat, how are you?
I'm very well, Ahmed. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking, and thank you for joining me on the show. Take me back in time, Kat. Where did it all begin for you?
Well, like you, I'm an Australian, so I grew up in Sydney, and had a lovely life as a kid, running around when they used to have cul-de-sacs and greenery, and there weren't computers. Well, they were, but they were very big and unusable. But I actually started my marketing career about 18 years ago. So, and I came from a family of entrepreneurs, so my family all had different businesses, and I instead went off to university and did a marketing degree and started in agency land. As a researcher, looking at insights and behaviours and at doing everything from qualitative to quantitative research. Then I took all that and fell in love with media and moved into media insights, as was a sensible thing because, you know, back then there wasn't just television, but there was this thing called the internet that was coming up. We did a huge amount of work on, you know, I'm thinking back 15 years ago on the value of podcasts, even back then, and whether or not people would pay for content, believe it or not. And then, as most Australians do at some point, and listening to some of your other podcasts, a lot of the ladies did, I got on a plane. And that was 12 years ago. I moved to London, worked in big global strategy roles, you know, working for big brands like Rolex and Unilever and the HSBCs of the world across, you know, 30 markets. And as we were just chatting, you know, I moved to Singapore 7 years ago. But Humanization, which is my business, came about 18 months ago after all these years in marketing and having come from an insight background that I just felt that it didn't matter what client I was in or what meeting I was in, people just weren't talking about people. You know, you'd sit there and there would be the agenda for the day in the board meeting and it would be like sales and technology. So, you know, where are we at with the numbers and what new technology are we running out or where's the data or what are we going to do to drive it? And maybe right at the bottom of the agenda, it would say, let's talk about the team or the customers. But often you just run out of it. And I just thought there had to be a better way to go to market for brands, to put the humans first, both inside the business as well as customers, not in a charitable way, but in a way where a business can be commercially viable. So it's a little bit of my story.
Unbelievable. It really makes me laugh when I speak to clients and they forget that they're basically selling to humans. A lot of the time, there's something I really emphasize on. This whole digital world has taken us away from humanization, if that makes sense. And it's something that the ones that are winning are really getting right, and they're creating and providing that personalized service and personalized experience through that journey, and that's why they're winning. So we both agree there on that point, and so many are missing that point. But now back to humanization. Tell us a bit about humanization and what you guys are currently doing.
Well, basically just, you shared it. I mean, what we do, that's it in a crack. You know, we are marketing and business consultants.
Yeah.
We specialize in Asia Pacific, and we work with, you know, SaaS brands, B2B brands, who are trying to find that right blend of digital and human touch. So exactly as you said, you know, when you look at their customer journey, they're working out how they can personalize it and customize it and have the warmest, authentic experience for their customers. And as you touched on, you know, a lot of this is because we've got all this great technology, which kind of puts a barrier between the business and the customer. So we try and remove that barrier as a consultancy and come in and help them. And the interesting thing about how we work is we often come in and help on the strategy and work not just with the marketing team, but sales, product, the leadership team. We look at that entire journey to see where we can make it more human. And then we provide ongoing mentoring to the team as they evolve. So it's good fun, and I love it because the types of clients that we work with have worked out and genuinely believe that if they have that human touch, it's a competitive advantage, but it's also how they want to do business.
One of the most common problems we come across dealing with our digital marketing clients week in, week out is they have a social media following, but they don't know how to monetize and engage their following. Well, the Business Wilderness can absolutely help you guys monetize and engage your audience week in, week out. We have done so from organizations that employ 50 people, 100 people, 200 people. We can absolutely help you and guide you through the process of building an engaged following and a following that you could monetize from. If you are interested, please visit our page www.businesswilderness.com/free consult or send through an email to me personally at ahmad@businesswilderness.com. Back to the show.
Absolutely. The whole digital space, whether it's marketing or whether it's technology, or whatever you want to get into, where do you see the space evolving to? I mean, it's moving rapidly. It's moving so quickly. It's crazy how fast things are moving forward. And the places where we're going are just unbelievable. Where do you see things moving forward?
That's a good question. I don't know if anyone has the actual answer because I don't think we all would have seeing where we are. And the funny thing is like everything moves really fast and everything really moves slowly. So yeah. It moves fast in that like all of a sudden there's this amazing bit of AI that helps you solve this problem, or you've got IBM Watson that is just smarter than everything in the universe. And then it moves slow because there's still the same challenges.
Yeah.
Like, you know, how do I build a brand? How do I drive sales? How do I drive growth? Where does the world go? I don't know. I think the world will be robotized, and we will all have to work out how to be critical thinkers and drive change and explore other planets and explore under the ocean.
Wow!
But it's don't you think? I mean, who knows where we'll net out? I mean, I'm really excited about what's happening with solar. I'm excited about what's happening with the moon. I'm excited, you know, there are places and things that we just haven't explored and got there yet. And that's what I think the next generation or the next 20 years is going to be. Everything that we see in sci-fi movies today is going to be real.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the human touch is going to be around forever. It's just the means and the channels that we get through to humans are going to really evolve and change.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal belief anyway. So
yeah, I mean, people are always going to matter because it's you know, you engage with humans, we have souls, we make emotional decisions that are subconscious.
Yeah.
We will still be there to engage. It's just how we work that
around it.
And we will, you know, we as humans, like, we will always look for smarter and faster ways to do things.
Of course.
And we will pull back when we don't feel comfortable. And I think, you know, I don't know, I guess you've been following the news over the last couple of days with Trust and Cambridge Analytica and
all the rest
of it. You know, we will continue to have stumbles like this where we've used technology in ways that we don't ethically feel comfortable, and we will all rally around it and move each other on the right direction of what we think is best and that's right for humans, or fair.
My personal belief is this is only the beginning of these stumbles. There's going to be many more cases to come, especially with this whole blockchain technology and crypto and so on. There's a lot more in store, I promise you that.
I agree.
I agree.
There's a lot of, I mean, Singapore at the moment is one of the biggest markets for ICOs.
Yeah.
Because they've been very open to it. But even Singapore are now coming down with stronger regulations on it, because people haven't understood what they're investing in or what the value is.
Behind
a lot of the technology. So I think you're right. I think the thing is that we've probably had these stumbles. It's just that they were never on such scale.
Yeah.
And with such visibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, when you've got 2 billion people on a social network, it's scale and it's visibility when something goes wrong. It's not just one country, one company, one bit of tech.
Yeah. I mean,
it affects all of us.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. Okay. Entrepreneurs, thriving, grinding, hustling, whatever you want to call it, working hard to grow their businesses. What's some generic advice you can give them to help them grow their digital presence in those early days when nobody knows them?
Well, I mean, if they're going from 0 to 10 customers, so you're like brand spanking new, the truth is it's going to be relationships and referral.
Yeah.
That will start your business. Even as a marketer, I have to say that it's word of mouth.
Of course.
And it's starting to tell your story. So the most important thing you can do if you're at like day 0 is building relationships, letting everyone know what you're doing, telling your story, and then only then do you start worrying about your base level of presence. Because then to go from your client 10 to your client 100, that's when you start looking at how you add in.
Yeah.
You know, I call them micro automations.
Yeah.
So little things that you can start to scale once you know it's working. So from a website to different social presence to the content that you need. But so part one is relationships, and then part two is just adding things on slowly. So the bit that I see is we all think we have to hustle until we kind of fall over.
Yeah.
And sure, hustle, but hustle in one or two areas with focus, and hustle with empathy towards your customer. Because what a lot of startups, you know, get into a bad spot is they like, I need to produce 20 bits of content. I need to have my website up and running. I need to be active on all social channels. And the team just go under because they're creating all this stuff. And they're not actually able to create a connection with their customer and build the relationships that they need to scale.
Yeah.
Once you get to 100 customers, it's a whole other conversation. You know, that's about putting automation in place that builds a relationship that keeps you going through the customer journey. But hustle with focus and empathy would be my advice.
Love it.
It's hard, you know, because you're in the same boat as me. You know, we've both got businesses.
Yeah.
And I think That has been one of the most rewarding things for me, because I'd been big corporate, massive brands, ginormous budgets. I'd worked with a lot of startups, but when you've got your own, you also learn a lot too.
Of course.
About what's really important, like cash flow. Right?
Capital is the oxygen of every single business or sale.
Which you may not notice when you're an employee in a ginormous tanker, or you know, it means different things to you.
Absolutely. Even if you're a CEO, as soon as you're out of that organization and you're building your own from the bottom up, it is a different ballgame.
And it's interesting because I came from a family of entrepreneurs, so I was the only person that got a job. Everyone else, like my parents, had businesses, my grandparents, my brothers, and they kept saying, "Really, it's time for you to go out there and do your own thing." But it's good learning lessons.
Absolutely, awesome, great advice. So moving forward. Which technology which technology do you see being one of the biggest disruptors in the whole digital marketing space moving forward? Other than, I know there's VR, there's AR, there's robotics, but let's niche down on the digital marketing space. What do you see happening moving forward?
I think you asked me this question today. It's going to be about beautiful automation that has beautiful experiences built in there. So a really nice example is Drift. You laughing? You like Drift as well?
Yeah.
They're ex-HubSpot boys. They've done a beautiful job in automating conversations. They do it clean. It's fresh. They've just moved on and released a beautiful way of automating email in a really conversational way. So I think in the digital world, we're going to see really nice bits of automation in those spaces where it's been clunky or messy. I'm also a HubSpot partner. I don't know if you are as well.
Nope, but I know HubSpot very, very well.
I know you've done your inbound certification, but likewise with HubSpot, they do beautiful ways of automating workflows and engaging things. So I think that for the next couple of years, that's where digital marketing is going to go, and we're all going to be looking for ways to automate that's in a human-centric way, where you can. You can actually walk through it and experience it. You can play with it so that it's clean and it's frictionless, and so that you can then scale with it. And I think we'll see a whole raft of little businesses or little startups coming up in every single step along the journey. You talked about AR, VR. Yeah, cool. It's going to be fabulous. When it's cost effective and you can scale it. But if you are a startup looking for customer 0 to 100, you're going to be looking for things like Drift and better ways of using social.
Absolutely.
That's been really pragmatic.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're the core areas where you really want to focus on moving forward.
Yeah, I think there's also, I think there's something around beautiful creativity as well, and I don't think anyone has quite cracked it when you're looking at, startups and SMEs. I know in the enterprise world there's enormous pressures coming from the Unilevers and the Proctors of the world about that there's just not enough creativity and there's too much of everything else, and I think we'll find the same in startups and SMEs, because you're just not getting as much organic reach anywhere. You need to put more effort into things. And so there might be some really cool tech that comes out that helps you to be more creative in how you put together everything, in not simply a here's the great headline and match it with this image, but something else. And I don't know what it is, but that would definitely be helpful.
It's only a matter of time. They seem to solve all these problems slowly but surely. Awesome. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me. We've had an awesome chat. Before I let you go, where can we find you online?
Oh, I've enjoyed the conversation as well. So you guys can find me at humanization.com. I'm on Twitter at @Kat_Williams, or you can check us out on Facebook and Instagram on Humanization Marketing. And I really enjoyed this conversation. You're making me now think about how we're going to get to the moon.
No worries at all. Thank you very much for joining me on the Business Wilderness.
You are listening to the Business Wilderness, the voice of entrepreneurs.